So today's Father's Day, and I, like I said, I was going to do this whole thing without crying, and I was going to talk about my dad too, and it's a lot more difficult when he's sitting on the back row, right? And that's my chair he's in. Y'all remember, y'all know the chair I talk about all the time? That's my chair. He's sitting in that, right? I like it. I like it. God is good to us. God is good to us. He's a good father. But you know, this is the thing. If we look at society, we look at what's going on all around. If there's ever a time that fathers should step up and be who they're called to be, it's right now. It's right now. Our society, if you look around, watch TV for any length of time. If you guys watch any kids shows, some of you guys don't have kids, so you wouldn't be watching kids shows. But if you watch any kids shows, you'll realize that the mom and the dad are the most dumbest thing on the earth, right? The most gullible, the most easily to pull the wool over their eyes as there is. They don't understand. They don't know. My kids have a rude awakening when it comes to that because I used to be them, only worse, right? That was the time for my mom and dad to amen, right? That's I wasn't bad, y'all. I was into everything, you know. I was ADD before they had that. You know what I mean? I was just like that wasn't a thing when I was a kid. They were just like beat him and put him in the corner, right? Now my mom and dad at school. That's what happened at school. I did get spankings. But anyway, back to that comes later in the sermon. But it's one of those situations, one of those things where parents are, especially fathers, are gullible. They don't know what they're doing. They're scatterbrained, and they have no clue what's happening. They can't lead the child, much less the family. And unfortunately, where we get that and where we see that a lot is because there's a lot of fathers who aren't a part of God's house. They don't know God's commands. Today we're going to talk about a godly father. You may have been in a home where your father wasn't godly, where he didn't know about God. There's a lot of people that are that way. And if that's you today, man, I would ask you to extend your father forgiveness, your earthly father forgiveness. We don't always do stuff right. We don't always get things right. And as parents, we try. Like, you ask people when they're going to have kids, and they're like, whenever I'm ready. But like, you ain't never having kids because you're never ready for kids. They get here, and it's a whole new world, you know, a whole new world, like overnight. And you have this amazing thing, and you don't know what to do, and you're lost, and you try to do the best that you can. But sometimes if you don't have all the information to accomplish things, you don't have all the tools, you have them, but you're not using them because you don't know they're there, you can't really do the job right, right? A lot of times that happens with fathers, that happens with mothers, that happens with families. And so, again, the craziest stories of forgiveness that I've ever heard about a father and a child is, she just left my brain. She was there, and then now she's gone. Joyce Myers, that's it. I would see her face. I'm looking at her picture in my mind. Joyce Myers, her father abused her over and over and over, repeatedly. And God told her to forgive him. And he never admitted that he had done that. I don't know why you treat me this way. I don't know why you're like this to me. And she, God told her to buy him a house. And she bought him a house. And he came in. And then God told her to go and visit. And she went to visit. And him being mean and hateful towards her this whole time, until one day he called crying and said, "Why are you treating me like this after what I have done to you?" He accepted what he had done and extended forgiveness. He wanted forgiveness. He said, "Please tell me how you can do this for me." You know what she said? "Because my Heavenly Father, who's good to me, told me I need to." And he accepted Christ into his life. He changed his life. They had a relationship even after all of that. Why? Because God is good, and we're called to extend forgiveness, even in the worst of situations, right? So again, if that was your situation, your past, man, I ask you to forgive today. I ask you to look to God and say, "How? You don't understand." No, I don't, because, I had an amazing father. I'm going to talk about him in a minute without crying, hopefully. But I had an amazing family life. I had all those things, and so I don't understand that aspect. But I do know this, that God loves you, and he's not that kind of father. He's a good, good father, as we sang about earlier. And so, again, getting back to how as fathers and as men, some of you guys say, well, I don't have any kids. But I guarantee you that there's someone in your life that looks up to you as a father. I guarantee you there's somebody in their life that looks to you to be a role model for them, a father figure, because they don't have one, or their father's not in their life, and they need someone to look to and to give them guidance. And so these tools, these things that I'm going to talk about today that a godly father has, man, I want you to look at your life and say, even though I'm not a father, do I have those things in my life? Ladies, there might be some people, you might be a single mom and the father's not there. You have to do both roles, right? That's got to be so difficult. Thank you for doing that. But I want you to take these principles too and say, how can I incorporate these? And when you're looking for someone to come and help be a part of the life, your family's life, look for these principles in that person, okay? Now you're getting away from Father's Day, you're getting away to marriage and all that kind of, yes, because it's important who the people view, your kids view as father. So with that, man, we're going to look at a couple of things. Micah 6:8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly with your God. To love kindness. How many of you know you can say all kinds of stuff if you say it in the right way? Right? I can say all kinds of things to a person if I use the right heart and they know my heart behind it. I can say difficult things to them. When I was going for youth camp, I don't know if I told you guys this about the egg and squeezing it. Did I tell you guys about the squeezing egg, squeezable egg? Okay, I'm gonna tell you now. We were doing a youth camp, man, and one of the guys was talking to all the leaders, and he said, listen, you take this egg. And he took an egg, and he had it end on end, and he squeezed it as hard as he could, and it didn't break because he had it on the very ends, right? The oblong end, and had it on the very end. And then he turned it just a little bit, and he went, psh. You can apply as much pressure as needed if you apply it in the right way. Right, in people's lives, when you speak into their lives, if you do it in a right manner, if you do it in kindness, if you talk to them out of love, even if they don't want to hear it at first, you're not going to destroy and damage your relationship. But you know what? My speech does just as much damage as a physical abuse. It really does. In my opinion, this is my opinion, y'all, it does more damage because the other ones heal quicker. The other ones here are quicker. The words that we say and speaking out of, not out of kindness and love into a person's heart, into a child's heart, does more damage than anything because they carry it the rest of their life. Even in jest, even in fun, even in joking. Sometimes we need to understand that kindness is the way that we need to live our life. That's what he's called us to. And the other thing is we need to understand that as a father, we can't do any of it without God's help. We can't do any of it without God's help. That's what this scripture tells us. What is good? To do justice, to do the right thing, to love kindness, and to walk in humility with your God. The first thing in your notes, man, to be a godly father needs to be is a godly father loves God. First of all, a godly father loves God. Upon this basis is how we receive joy. And how we receive everything in our life through God, through who God is. Again, I used this scripture last week, but in order to come to please God, you have to first know that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? He's there. He's there for us. And in our lives, when we say, what do we need to do? How do we need to do things? It's very clear that Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. All the things that you need, if you seek God first and you put him in that right perspective, that right place in your life, then what happens? Everything else falls into line. But when you take one of those blocks out and you put it in the wrong spot, it doesn't work, does it? You guys know those little blocks that you do as a kid where it has the fat ring and then the other ring and the other ring and you try and put them on the right way, it doesn't work, right? If you put the little one on first, then it's all messed up, right? Same principle with our lives. If we put them in the wrong If we put them in the wrong order in our lives get messed up. And the first thing in all of our lives, not just fathers, should be God. The first thing that all of our people see that come into our presence, who we come into their presence, who see us at the store, at work, wherever, they should see God in our lives. And he should be the center of it. He should be the center of it. I got. Can you hear me now? All right. Don't y'all hate that commercial? I'm glad it's over. Anyway, because this is the thing, man. If you don't have a right relationship with God, how can you think that the rest of the things are going to line up in your life? How? How is it possible? It's not. It won't work. It may work a little bit for a while, but then everything starts to crumble down in your life. And you look to God and say, God, how come things aren't right? He's like, put me first and they will be. Now, you'll still have issues, you'll still have problems, you'll still go through things. And James tells us that that's a good thing because it gives us patience, it gives us endurance, allows us to be able to do what God's called us to do and glorify him. But we need to put him first. And this is the thing that we need to understand and that everybody needs to understand is that when you're running from God, you will never have peace. As long as you're running from God, you will never have peace in your life. You'll end up in the belly of a whale. Right? God called Jonah to go do this thing, said, go there. He's like, nope, I don't want to. I'm going to go this way. God's going to get him there anyway. I'd have just rather take a donkey than a whale, right? It would have been a lot smarter, smelled a lot better. He probably would have had some better food choices along the way on the 3-day trip, right? But when you're running from God, you won't have peace. The first thing we need to do as godly fathers, man, we need to surrender our lives to God 100%. 100%. Put him in the right spot, the right place in our life. Isaiah 57:21 said, there is no peace, says God, for the wicked. If you're running from him, there is no peace. Doesn't mean that you're wicked, just means you're not where you're supposed to be. How many of you know sometimes you're not wrong, but you're not in the right place? And because you're not in the right place, the things that you would have if you were there, you don't receive. Right? Y'all like going to Sam's? Sorry, this is a squirrel. But y'all like going to Sam's? No? I love going to Sam's. Me and my kids love going to Sam's because you get free stuff, right? They get free sushi out now. You get one roll. Here, check it out. My kids love it. We tear it up. My wife says no, and then I'm mad because I could have ate her piece that she didn't take. And, you know, it's a battle we've got going on with us. But the other day we were there, and there was a lady, and she was doing this demonstration. And if you stayed there for the demonstration, you got this big knife block set. And she was just handing them out. My kids were like, Dad, let's go get a knife block set. I was like, we weren't here when it was coming out. We didn't fulfill what it took in order for us to receive that gift. We weren't in the right place. We were here, but we weren't in the right place. So that's why the scripture tells us to walk by the Spirit, right? Because he has us in the right place. He puts us in the right place. And sometimes even though we're not in a bad place, we're still not in the right place. You guys know the principle, like just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing, right? We need to understand that we need to put God first in our life and love our Father with everything. Number two, according to Scripture, godly father loves his wife. Most husbands assume that love is shown by physical contact, right? And to guys, that's how it comes a lot of time. But there's a lot more to love than just certain little things that we do. Have you guys ever read, and I know you have because I said something about it, the love languages, right? Everybody has a different language. Everybody talks. Some people like touch. Some people like acts of service. Some like quality time. Some like, there's like five of them. I don't remember the other two right now. So read the book and you'll get it. It's a good cliffhanger for you. But what happens is this, is that we all have different ways that we express love and that we receive it. It's no different in a marriage. He said, well, it's Father's Day. Why are you talking about marriage? I'm going to get to that in a minute. Ephesians 5:22-33 says this, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her with the washing of the water and the word, so that he might present the church to him in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. How many of you know that's a principle? If you don't love yourself, you can't love others, right? You can't love yourself, you can't eat. That's I think that's one of the main things why some people miss the two commandments that Jesus said were the most important in our lives, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. But if you can't love yourself, how can you love a God that created something that's not right? And then how can you love your neighbor? Because you're always looking at them wishing you were them, or you had what they had. Or you're doing, you're coveting, or you're taking. So there's not, how can you love others if you don't love yourself? So that's the first thing. Understand who you are, that you're his child, that he loves you. But it says, he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it, cherished it, just as Christ did the church. Because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. See, real love seeks to meet all of the needs of a person, not just a few of them, right? Real love seeks to take care of every issue, everything that they have need of, every care that they have before they take care of themselves. I always thought this was a messed up thing. It's kind of backwards if you think about it. But you guys know on an airplane, if the thing falls, you're supposed to take care of yourself and then other people, right? Why? Because if you're not healthy, you can't help other people, right? But fathers, if you're not healthy, if you're not in a right relationship with God, if your marriage isn't in the right place and you're not taking care of your wife the way that you should, guess what? You ain't gonna be able to take care of your kids right either. It's gonna flow down. It's all gonna go together. Why is love important in all these different aspects? 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Again, if I don't do things in the right way when I talk about it, it just does damage. Doesn't help. If I have prophetic powers and understand the mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith as much to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. Doesn't insist on its own way. Dad, doesn't insist on its own way. Dad doesn't insist on its own way. Let me say that again. You know they say repetition is the best teacher, right? So if I just say it over and over and over, maybe I'll get it. I don't know, right? I think that one's shot straight towards me, man. Wait a minute. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. You know when your kid does something really, really funny, but it's wrong? Don't laugh. Right? I'm bad at that, right? My kid, like, that was bad. Don't do it again, right? What does that do? That just teaches them, hey, man, it's okay to do it. It's funny if you do it. And what happens? Kids who want attention, they're going to do what it takes to get that attention, even if it's bad and they know it's wrong. And they know they're going to get in trouble. But if I don't get any attention, I might as well get bad attention, right? At least then they're paying attention to me. Scripture says, man, don't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice at the truth. We need to be cheering our kids on, man. You did amazing. You saw what you just did? That was the right way to handle it. I know it didn't feel good. I know you didn't want to do that, but that was the right way to do it. We need to rejoice at those things and allow them to see that in our lives. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I'm going to skip down to 13. It says, and so, now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. We need to show love in our lives, guys, to our wives. So that, why? So that our kids will see that in us. Why is that important? Why is it important if we hold the car door open, or we pull out our chair at dinner, or we hold our hand, or we help her make the bed, or we rinse out the tub when we're finished, or we help do the dishes. Why does all that matter? Why do we need to do those things to show love? We do need to do those things to show our young men that are growing up that this is what a man should do. He should take care of all responsibilities and aspects of his family and his wife. And we need to show our young girls, in my case. So I'm just like my wife's dad. Like, y'all, it's bad. Except you can understand me. He's Cajun. You don't understand him. I can understand him, but y'all can't understand him. But it's one of those things that he is a prankster. He's a jokester. He cuts up. He laughs. He does all kind of stuff. Embarrasses the family. But she's not embarrassed anymore, right? He got her ready for me. So I can do pretty much anything in public, and she's not embarrassed. She's like, yep, that's my husband. There he is. How you like it? Right? I'm just like him. See, the ladies, the young ladies that we're raising up in our lives, they're going to look for men that are like their father, their dad. That's why it's so important that husbands, fathers, we treat the mother with respect. You know what? Even if you guys are split up and you're not together, respect still needs to be there in the eyes of your kid. Right? Respect still needs to be there. Doesn't take away that aspect. It needs to be there. Don't demean them when they're not there or talk bad about them as soon as they leave. That's not what a godly man does. A godly father. Because again, our sons are learning how to treat their wives. And one day, they'll treat their wives the same way you treat their mother. Most times. Do you know kids that grow up in an abusive home end up usually having an abusive home as the man of the house? Because that's what they know. That's what they've seen. That's what they've learned. Now, some of them get it and say, same principle. I learned what not to do by watching my father, right? I learned what not to do by watching what happened. I don't want that to ever be a part of it. And some of them learn that. But the majority of the times, what they learn as a child on how to have a relationship at home is learned by the parents. And that's what they carry on when they grow older. If there's arguing, yelling, screaming. Remember, we're not supposed to rejoice at wrongdoings, but there's this little kid on YouTube that says, listen, Linda, honey, listen, Linda. Y'all know that one? That's hilarious. But where did he get that from? From his father. That's exactly how, when they're talking and she's talking, he's like, no, listen. You listen, Linda, listen. Right? Honey, stop. You're not listening to me. Right? Where did he learn that? Because he saw mom and dad doing it. He saw the way that his father treated his mother. And because of that, he's going to treat her that way too. And when he grows up, that's how he's going to treat his wife. So it's important. A godly father loves his wife. Treats her with respect. The next thing, point number three. I got to hurry, y'all. Y'all ready? Point number three. A godly father loves his children. Again, going back to what love is way more than just providing material things for your children. Don't miss that on your kids' childhood, man, because you don't get a second chance at it. One of my downfalls, my daughter wants to play board games all the time. I hate board games. She wants to play not just like the one that lasts 5 minutes. She picks like Monopoly. A 6-hour game to play. Like, Dad, I know it's about bedtime, but can we play Monopoly? No, it's about bedtime. Two, it takes 6 hours to play Monopoly, and I can't stand Monopoly. I don't ever tell her I can't stand Monopoly. Like, I didn't say that to her. But do you know what? One day, y'all know what I'm about to say? I didn't even say it. One day, I'm going to wish that she would want to play Monopoly with me. But I get so busy in what I'm doing and providing and taking care of other things that I miss the things that I should be doing to love my child. Play Monopoly. That's probably what we're going to do for Father's Day now that I'm thinking about it. Thanks, y'all. I ain't taking no nap. It's going to be Monopoly, y'all. Maybe we should just strike this point off of the message and go to... No.
You don't get a second chance at it, man. You don't. And you know, with my first kid, I've said this, but my first kid, man, I was so excited about making Sydney do this before everybody else's kid. You know, I was that dad. And my kid walked before yours. He brought, oh, well, yours did it at, well, my kid's first tooth is in, is yours. You know, I like, my kid's going to beat yours no matter what happened. And because I was so excited about that happening, you know what? I missed a lot of stuff that was going on because I was so looking forward and trying to get her to do other stuff instead of just enjoying where she's at right now. A godly father loves his children, takes time with his children, doesn't aggravate his children. Okay, I do that every now and then. Colossians 3:31, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Don't beat your kids up out of anger with what you say. Don't even joking around with them talk about features that they have on their body that they're going to become insecure about and worried about, because it's a joke now. And I did it, man. My Shelby busted her front two teeth, and they were all crooked, so I called her Chippy forever. Hey, Chippy, come here. It's like, hey, Dad, I'm Chippy. You know? Well, she lost them, and the new one's coming in now. But, you know, it's one of those things. We do that out of fun, and it's funny at the time. But do you know what? Sometimes that ends up being the thing that they're most insecure about in their life. We need to make sure that we don't do that to our kids, man, that we love our kids. We need to spend quality time with our kids. Actually, you know what? We need to forget quality time. We need to spend quantity time. We need to spend a lot of time with our kids, pouring into them. Now, do quality things when you do it. But you know what? If I only spend a really good night with my kids and then I don't hang out with them for 3 weeks, that one night don't mean much. It's an everyday thing where I pour into my kids, right? An everyday thing. A godly father loves his children. The next thing, man, a godly father is a man of integrity. Number four, what is integrity? According to the dictionary, the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. Again, the things we do in our life, our kids mirror, our kids mimic. That's who they become. If it becomes okay to lie to somebody about why you're late, guess what your kid's going to do? You're going to wonder, like, why are you lying to me about why you're not down here on time? Well, you do it, Dad, right? Well, that's different. I'm the dad. It's okay for me. It's not good for you, kid, right? Do as I say, not as I do. We need to be men of integrity. Integrity is gone from our society, pretty much. It's okay to say this and do that. It's okay to say this to get out of the situation, or it's okay to be this way or to act this way in front of people and then something totally different at home. It's okay to say it's not good to do these in your life and then run home and do it in front of your kids. It's okay. There's not a lot of integrity in today's society. We need to put that back in our lives. And fathers, it needs to start with you. It needs to start with you. Scripture says that you're the head of the household. And I joke and say that I'm the head, but my wife's the neck. She tells me which direction to go, you know. We work together on it. But do you know what? There's some things that won't ever happen at my home. There's some things that my family won't ever do. And it comes into Scripture. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to put him first. We're going to try and do everything we can. Now, do I fall down? Do I mess up, man? I do. I do. Do I act wrong towards my kids? Do I make a comment about somebody that we see at Walmart and being funny that's demeaning or wrong to them because it's funny? I do. I do. I'm working on it. I'm better. But my kids help me with that now. Why? Because they know that I don't want to do that. So when I do that... Dad, you're not supposed to say those things about people. You know what? You're right, baby. You're right. I'm sorry. I haven't made the step to go to that person and tell them I'm sorry yet. I'm waiting on that one. That was a little further on down than where I'm at right now. But we need to have integrity. Where do we need it? in all areas of our life. In the workplace, we need not to not leave early and clock out, write down on our time sheet the full period of time. Well, it's just 5 minutes. Well, then wait 5 extra minutes and see how that works. It's just 5 minutes, right? We need to show up on time. We need to be there. We need to do an honest day's work. In our homes, man, we need to fulfill promises. If we say we're going to do it, we need to do it. Integrity, that's what it's about. In business, taking care of bills and things that we have in our life, that's integrity. Taking care of the things that are the most important first before other things, that's integrity. Making sure the bills are paid before I use it to go do something fun that I want to do. Teaching our kids that the right way to do things in all aspects of our lives, we need integrity. A godly father is a man of integrity. And I have scriptures, but I don't have them in my notes, man. I'm going to look them up. Titus 2:7.
Titus.
I'm looking for them. Hold on. It's behind me? Look, I'm just going to read them off of there. Show yourselves in all respect to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity and dignity. We need to show integrity in everything that we do, in everything that we say in front of our kids, in front of our family, in front of other people's family. We need to show integrity, honor, and always be that person. Always be that person. The next one is Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But the man who makes his way crooked will be found out. Will be found out. There's a spider web that comes with lying, with telling a false truth. There's a spider web that comes with even a half truth. We need to be men of integrity, fathers. We need to be men of integrity. The next thing and the last thing in your notes, man, is a godly father is a role model of God. Godly father is a role model of God. Again, the image of our father nowadays is not always a good one. Over half the children in America will grow up without a father in their home, abandoned, left alone, abused by a father, whether physically or mentally. And then we tell our kids, all these kids, man, this is how great your heavenly father is. And if they put father on earth, as with father in heaven, they don't want that kind of father. He can do all kind of stuff, right? I told you one of my biggest battles at youth camp this year was a kid that said, I don't want God. I don't love God. I don't want anything to do with God. I'm like, why is that? He's like, because he left his son. He told his son he didn't want him. He didn't want him so he could have everybody else. I said, like, well, hold on. Let's talk about this for a minute, right? But the problem is we tell people that have messed up fathers how great this heavenly father is, and he's like your earthly father, and they're like, well, I don't want that. Because they don't truly understand who God is. As fathers, we need to be a role model to our kids that point to God. Right? Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? When people look at us, do you know what they should see, fathers? The Father. Now's where I'm going to cry. Y'all ready? I had an amazing father figure. I say had like he's not here. He's on the back row. I have an amazing father figure. But growing up, I saw a man that was behind a pulpit one way and was at home the exact same way. Who was at Walmart one way and was at home the exact same way. Every aspect of looking at my father points to the Father in heaven. Again, it'd be a lot easier to say this if you weren't here. You know one of the greatest compliments I got yesterday, right? Somebody came and visited our church. And They had been here several times when my dad had been here. And they weren't sure about coming because they didn't know what it was going to be like now that I was here. And that's a scary thought, I know. But it's one of those things. Do you know what they wrote in the letter? Which was such a compliment to me. They said, when I was sitting there looking at Toby, I could see his father in him. In his mannerisms. In his mannerisms and the way he said things and the way he did things, the way he treated people when he was walking around, I can see his father in him. Fathers, when people see us, they should see the mannerisms of our father in us. They should see God and what he's doing and what his word says that he is in us. That our yes is yes. That we love our families more than ourselves. Then we would give up things so that our families could have them. So that we would take care of things the right way. So that everything that we do would point to how good God is in our lives. We need to be that, men, as fathers. Those of you who don't have kids yet or have never had kids and aren't going to, again, there's somebody who looks at you as a father figure, and they need to see the right way to act in their life. A role model that's going to point them in the right direction. Because, again, people see us. We need to be fathers this Father's Day. I want to challenge you guys, man. These areas that I talked about when I was talking about them, you know where you're falling short. You know where you're not doing right. When I said those things, you're like, well, that's me. Wives, that wasn't your time to be like, that's you. You need to listen to your wife. That wasn't the time for that. Maybe later. I don't know. Fathers, we need to show God's love, grace, and mercy in our lives to everyone we come in contact with, especially at home to our families. So I want to challenge you, man, this week. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. First of all, I've been talking to the fathers all day about how good a father we need to mimic. We need to look towards our Heavenly Father and look at him and how good he is and how he treats his children. And maybe you're that child that's saying, man, I don't really understand what a real father is supposed to look like. Or I don't know how. I didn't have a good father. Or I didn't have this. Or I've never accepted my father's gift of his son that he's given to me so that I could have access to him. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You be honest and say, you know what, that's me. I've never accepted Christ into my life. I don't know him as my father. But today I want to know the love, the grace, the mercy that you've been talking about. You be honest and say, hey, that's me. Nobody looking around. Just put your hand up, look back down. That's me this morning. That's me. I need to know that love, grace, and mercy. I need to see him as a true father. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Heavenly Father, right now, I ask that you would wrap your arms around us, everyone here. Let us see how great of a father you are. How you comfort us in the rough times. How you're there for us in the tough times. And how you could give good gifts to your children. Like the gift of your son. We accept it now. I want you guys to all say this with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your son so that I could have access to you. So I could be part of your family. Not an outsider or just somebody who comes around, but a son or a daughter. And I accept it now. Let me see you in my life. Let me feel freedom. that your son paid for. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a few more minutes. Dads, fathers in the house, nobody looking around, please. You got some things you need to work on. You know it today. I want you just to put your hand up. Just put it up in the air and hold it up. Heavenly Father, right now, as you see our hands raised, Father God, I ask that you help us be more like you. Help us love our children unconditionally. Help us love your children unconditionally. Help us be the husbands that we need to be to our wives so that our children can see and grandchildren can see how to love, how to honor, how to respect, how to have integrity in our lives, Father God. And I ask that as men, you would help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. All right, we are going to sing a song. We're going to stand up and worship. And then fathers, we have a gift for you out in the lobby that we have our children from next door going to give to you as you walk out of here and go home. And you say, well, I'm not a dad or I'm not a father. Again, there's somebody who looks at you as that. So I want you to take one of those gifts. You're like, well, I'm too young. I don't have any kids yet. You will be one day. Take a gift. Enjoy it. It's I love it. This is why I got it. So you guys enjoy. And listen, again, no matter where you're at, man, no matter where you're at, honor your father today. And if your father's not here, honor the memory of your father and talk about the things that he taught you. Talk about the things that he showed you. Talk about to your kids and to the people that are around how great he was. And then talk about your heavenly father and how good he is. And let them see that in our lives. I'm going to pray one more time, then we're going to go. Dear Heavenly Father, we get ready to sing worship to you, Father God. Help us see you in our lives this week. Help us be the best fathers that we can be. Be the best mothers that we can be. Allow us to show your sons love, grace, and mercy to everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.